Thank you, Mr. Fauché. It's a pleasure to see everyone here this afternoon, especially visitors. Was really excited to see a few familiar faces who are down visiting for the Thanksgiving weekend, and the rest of you who are visiting, whether you're familiar or not, we welcome you and are happy that you're here. Here we come off of the heels of the Thanksgiving holiday. I sure hope that everyone had a fabulous time hanging out with family and friends and the people that you call important in your lives. So I thought that it would be appropriate today, since we've just celebrated that holiday, to talk about thankfulness and Thanksgiving. Let me start by reading a proclamation. This is excerpted a little bit from the President of the United States of America. It is meet and right to recognize and confess the presence of the Almighty Father and the power of His hands equally in these triumphs and sorrows. Now, therefore, be it known that I do set apart Thursday, and he gives the date, it's changed since then, to be observed as a day for national thanksgiving, praise, and prayer, and I invite the people of the United States to assemble on that occasion in their customary places of worship and in the forms approved by their own consciences, render the homage due to the divine majesty for the wonderful things he has done in the nation's behalf, and to invoke the influence of his Holy Spirit, and finally to lead the whole nation through the paths of repentance and submission to the divine will back to the perfect enjoyment of union and fraternal peace, in the witness whereof I have hereunto set my hand and caused the seal of the United States to be affixed, done at the city of Washington this 15th day of July, 1863, Abraham Lincoln. So very powerful words from a president of the United States, not words that any of us would expect in modern times, but obviously, if you read the proclamation also from George Washington, it's very similarly flowering and beautiful language in reference to fealty and recognition that thanksgiving should be given to God Almighty for the blessings that we enjoy here. So it's right and it's good and it's appropriate to give thanks to God. Abe, honest Abe, understood the source of the nation's blessing. I'm afraid, as I've mentioned, it's something that's lost on our current generations, but never lost, brethren, to us. Never lost to Christians, never lost especially to the household of faith who have understood and accepted the call of God, recognized that the sacrifice of Jesus Christ was a voluntary act by our sovereign God and Savior to allow us the perfect unity of His Spirit and understanding of the things that He has in store for us. The day of Thanksgiving has come and gone, but for us, it can't be a single day in the year. It has to be every day. Like Paul used to say, when we wake and rise in everything that makes up our being, we should be giving thanks to God. So thanksgiving is God's will for us. It's an attitude. It's a state of being. It's a way of life, and it's a gift from our Heavenly Father. When we express gratitude, it induces happiness. And when we're more thankful to God, when He's helpful and generous, or to others for that matter, when they're helpful and generous, then He is much more likely to continue to be generous and giving. So how much more so would a good God tend to be generous to us when we're continually giving Him thanks for what He's already given us and for what He's done for us through His Son, Jesus Christ? Something that that when we hit our knees daily, that we make great supplications to God for the knowledge of that alone, and not to mention all of the things that we enjoy, not only as citizens of this nation, by which we enjoy through the blessings of God, but as Christians ourselves. So let's begin by talking about that gift. Whenever I read about that, us being thankful, I think in reference to thanks of 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 15, it's a very short verse there, 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 15. It says there, thanks be to God for His inexpressible gift. You'll see it in several different ways, His indescribable gift. what is that indescribable gift? I think of 100 scriptures that could explain it, but you can jot this down. 2 Corinthians in the same book, 5 and verse 21, talks about that gift as the Bible does throughout, where it says, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." That's part of the amazing mystery that God lets us glimpse through a very dark glass at the moment, brethren. So that's what I'm here to talk about today. Given the season, we'll discuss Thanksgiving from a Christian's perspective. Thanksgiving and thankfulness is God's will for us. It's an attitude, it's a state of being, it's a way of life, and it's a gift. So what does it say? We'll have 3 points. The first one is, thanksgiving is pleasing and acceptable to our God, and it is his will. The second is, enter his gates with the sacrifice of thanksgiving. And the third point, give thanks at all times for all things and for each other. Now, the state of the world is described in Romans, the first chapter, Romans 1 and verse 21, where it says, Romans 1 and verse 21, "For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened," a familiar scripture for us. But because the world is not giving thanks to whom it is due, their heart is darkened for it, and that certainly should not be the case for us. Now, as a part of an exercise for the split sermon today, I'd like you to flip your notebook over a page or two. Take as many pages as you think it might take you for the notes that you'll write on my little talk here today. And right at the top of it, thank you, God. Thank you, God. That will be the beginning of your gratitude list. Now, hopefully, if you start on the list now, you've got the same sort of top 10 that I do. Of course, our calling for God, for Jesus Christ and his sacrifice, for my amazing helpmeet and partner in life, for my beautiful children, that sort of thing. So work on a thank you list, and we'll get back to that in just a little bit. Don't work on it now. Work on it later. But the first 10 should be about the same as mine. So let's get to the first point. Thanksgiving is pleasing and acceptable to God. Thanksgiving is pleasing and acceptable to God, and it is his will. Let's turn over to Luke 17. Luke 17, it's a story from the life and times of Jesus Christ that kind of underscores that that point. Luke verse 17. Luke verse 17 will begin in verse 11. Your Bible is likely headed, 10 lepers cleansed as is mine. Now it happened, verse 11, that as he went to Jerusalem and he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, as he entered a certain village, he met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. Remember, lepers were excommunicated. They were quarantined from everyone else in reference to their disease. And they lifted up their voice and said, verse 13, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said to them, it's like many of the miracles that Christ performed. He just spoke it, and it was so. He didn't make a huge deal about it. He told them, verse 14, "Go, show yourselves to the priest." And it was that when they went, they were cleansed. So somewhere between him saying so and them getting to the priest, they were healed of their leprosy. A beautiful miracle. By the way, I don't believe that leprosy these days can be healed. So certainly an amazing gift that he gave to those 10 men. Now verse 15, now one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell on his face at the feet of Christ, giving him thanks. And it mentions here that he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? So 10 men begged for mercy from God. Jesus Christ healed them, and one returned. And Jesus Christ made the point to say, were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? I think the assumption there, and if you read the read some of the commentaries on that, are that the stranger, the Samaritan, returned to give thanks, but those who were of the house of Israel and understood what the process of showing themselves to the priest to be cleansed according to the laws of that disease in Leviticus were, did not return. So Jesus Christ made a point to say, those nine guys should have been thankful. And of course, the end of there is that he told him, arise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. So that's a story that describes kind of the state of our world today. Even though many people are touched by God's mercy and by his grace and by the fact that he has a plan for all of mankind, few give him the praise and the glory that he deserves. We have to be like the one here in the story about the 10 lepers. We were cleansed, we were healed, we were set apart through the calling of God. Therefore, we are and we should be thankful. What's one of the first things that we teach our children? As young as Rob's little girl over there, the first thing we teach them, please and thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Mom. Thank you, Dad. Thank you, Father in heaven. Please and thank you. Paul tells the Thessalonians believers that God wills for them to be thankful. Sorry, I stumbled over that sentence. Paul tells the Thessalonian believers that God's will for them is to be thankful. We want our children to show gratitude to us and to others. God wants the same thing from us, our children. So let's turn to Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians verse 5. I'm sorry, chapter 5 and verse 6. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 6, 16. I'll get it straight. 1 Thessalonians 5. We'll start in verse 16. We're aiming for verse 18. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16. Rejoice evermore. 17. Pray without ceasing. 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything give thanks. Some of the commentaries say that because they're separated with a comma, that this that the will of God is for, speaks to all of these things that are listed even up into the 10th or 11th verse. And some say no, God especially, he's especially making a point that in everything we give thanks, that is especially the will of God for us. I think that it's a moot point. Nonetheless, the point is that it's acceptable to God to give thanks to him, and it's his will that we do so. The Geneva Study Bible puts it this way, an acceptable thing to God, or it's one of the commentaries, an acceptable thing to God and such as he approves well of, giving thanks to him as an acceptable thing to God and such as he approves well of. Now, interesting, there was an interesting point that I underscored in McLaren's Expositions where he talked about the words in front of rejoice and pray and giving thanks, and that is evermore, without ceasing, in everything. These qualifying words give the injunctions of this text their grip and their urgency. So Paul is telling the Thessalonians, because he kind of forecasts their objections to that. They're going to say, wait a minute, Paul, that's impossible. We can't do that. And we can't always rejoice and always pray and always in everything give thanks. We just can't do that. To the effect that he was requiring impossibilities of them by adding that hard and impractical as these things might be, such a constant attitude, that is, a constant attitude and heart and mind of thanks and praying and rejoicing, that this is the will of God and Jesus Christ concerning you. So when a Christian life, so then, he says, a Christian life may be lived continuously on the highest level. And more than that, it's our duty to try and live that way. So by giving those qualifying words to his admonitions there, rejoicing evermore, praying without ceasing, and in everything giving thanks, Paul sets the bar pretty high for us. God's will for us in Christ, family, is thankfulness. Let's go to Psalm 69 and verse 30. Of course, if you speak of thankfulness and thanks and thanksgiving, you can spend a day in the Psalms just looking up those scriptures that refer to them. It's a beautiful place when you're feeling low or you're feeling dejected or rejected or anything that you might put in that as an adjective. The Psalms are a good place to turn for that. Psalm 69 and 30 says, I will praise God's name in song. We've done that already, haven't we? And glorify him with thanksgiving. So when we enter these doors and we stand to sing praises to God, we're glorifying him with our thanksgiving. And it says that our attitude should reflect that. So that leads me to the second point. Enter his gates with the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Enter his gates with the sacrifice of thanksgiving. We'll be in the Psalms a few minutes here. Turn to Psalm 100 and verse 4, and we'll hear basically where I got the text for the second point. Psalm 100 and verse 4. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. Give thanks to God and enter his gates with thanksgiving. Let's turn back a few psalms to Psalm 95. Psalm 95 and verse 2. We'll start in verse 1. O come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Were you singing joyfully to the rock of your salvation when we enjoyed the first three psalms? I'll tell you, one of the places where much of your weekly frustrations can simply leave you is found in the way that you sing hymns to God when you enter his gates, right there through the double front doors, brethren. My wife sometimes will say, why are you singing so loud? Well, number one, I'm loud anyway, but number two, you know, sometimes you need that. You need to enter his gates with thanksgiving, and the rest of it all goes away. It's an attitude. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and shout joyfully to him with songs. Where are the gates of God so that we can enter them with thanksgiving, brethren? Well, I've already mentioned it. You know, there are gates actually out in the driveway. They're typically open when you guys come in. We enter those gates, and we gather in the name of God here. We enter his presence, don't we? God is everywhere, of course, but especially when we invoke his name, Father in heaven, how do we begin our prayers? God above. Sometimes before you get to that part, it's help me. And the gates of the Holy of Holies, the doors, the curtains, the veil, all fall down, brethren, and we enter the presence of our eternal. So we enter those gates when we pray through Jesus' name. It transports us to the high heavenly place where God resides, and Jesus Christ is at his right hand saying, interceding, mediating, reminding God that he's been through the same thing that we're facing, every one of us. And he says, God, I remember what that's like. Give Chris a hand over there. So when we enter his gates with thanksgiving, we enter the presence of God. Here in services, when we pray, when we think of God's great name. Thanksgiving is intrinsically linked to prayer and is referred to in the scripture as an offering or a sacrifice. Let's turn to a few verses that support that. Of course, in Leviticus, there was an offering of thanksgiving, wasn't there? Psalm 116 and verse 17 reads, Psalm 116 and verse 17, I will offer thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will offer thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Now let's turn back to Psalm 50, Psalm 50 and verse 14. Offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. God is speaking in this psalm. If you read through the entire one, you'll recognize the psalm because you sing the song. You sing the psalm. Give all your vows to God Most High. Give thanks and offer praise. And when the day of trouble comes, I'll hear and answer you. Do you think, God says, that I need to eat of flesh or ask you for a sacrifice? But rather unto me, your God, give thanks and offer praise. I've been singing that in a psalm my entire life. Offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows to the Most High. God's word, there's several translations that help me in that in regards to this verse. It's one of the things I like to do is see how different people have translated this specific offer unto God thanksgiving verse there. God's word's translation says, bring your thanks to God as a sacrifice. The NIV says, sacrifice thank offerings to God. NIV says, make thankfulness your sacrifice. ESV and the NAS both say, offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving. So the one offering we can give to God that's acceptable, brethren, is praise and thanksgiving out of a pure heart. Remember with David and his selection as the king of Israel, God said, I bring it up all the time, that I don't look at the outward appearance. I look at what's inside. It's interesting that I'm talking about that because before I had even told Royden that my first run at a sermon for today was about the heart. But there's so much more. It's so much more than this four-valved chamber that moves blood throughout our bodies. It's all mixed up in here. It's your guts. It's what you think about. It's who you are, really, who you are. Let's talk about Barnes, that verse, and Barnes' notes on the Bible had some interesting stuff to say about that. It says, offer to God thanksgiving. The word rendered offer in this place means properly to slaughter or sacrifice. The word is used doubtless with design to show what was the kind of sacrifice with which God would be pleased and which he would approve. It was not the mere sacrifice of animals. Of course, when David wrote that, there still was a sacrifice of thanksgiving and a sin sacrifice and all of those things involving the first covenant. But he's talking about an offering which proceeded from the heart and which was expressive of gratitude and praise, implying that a higher sacrifice was necessary than the physical sacrifices. And we understand that intrinsically today, that those were the tutor to bring us to an understanding of what we know now, and that is that Christ is all in all for us as the sacrifice for our sins, as the gateway to God the Father, and as the only path to salvation. He was implying that higher sacrifice was necessary, that the physical sacrifices would be vain unless they were accompanied with the offerings of the heart. That is, his worship, even amidst outward forms, even in that time with outward forms, was to be a spiritual worship. So the thanksgiving spoken of here is an offering of the heart, a matter of the heart, an offering and a sacrifice of the heart and of the mind and of who we are. As I mentioned, that's the kind of heart that David had, even in his darkest hour, as we read in Psalm 51. Psalm 51, we can pick that up in verse 15. Moving toward verse 17 here. Psalm 51:15, O Lord, open my lips that my mouth may declare your praise, for you do not delight in sacrifice, otherwise I'd give it to you. You're not pleased with burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. So that's the type of heart that we enter into the gates of God with thanksgiving with. And finally, let's turn to Philippians 4 and verse 6 on that point. Philippians 4 and verse 6, where Paul says there, be anxious for nothing. How difficult is that, to be anxious for nothing? But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And here's something that when you lay it at the feet of the Father happens, brethren. Verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. That's the type of peace that gives us the ability to be anxious for nothing, as he mentioned in verse 6 there. Now for the third verse, let's speak to that. The third point, give thanks to God at all times for all things and for each other. At all times for all things and for each other. Let's read some in Ephesians. Ephesians verse 5. We'll start in verse 15 and read through the 21st verse. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Mr. Farrell spoke of that in his opening prayer, and isn't that the truth? Everywhere you turn, brethren, sometimes it's hard to be thankful, isn't it? I have a trick, and I'm in the middle of this verse of scripture. But anytime it's about, and I'll actually get to that. It's about how you speak to yourself, I think, in reference to our thanksgiving. It's your self speak, you know, because you can be down. It's easy to get that way. It's easy to see everything that's going on and be discouraged by that. But Paul just told us to be anxious about nothing. What I do is when I'm upset about something, or I think something is stupid, or I think it's unfair, whatever the case may be, whatever I complain about, I make myself say five things that I'm thankful for. And it has to be in reference to what I didn't like. This is the stupidest rule that I've ever heard. 45. This road is three lanes each way. Why am I going 45 on this road? This is a 60-mile-an-hour road. Well, you know, then I just talk to myself and say, okay, well, that is the law. Slow it down, speed racer. And now you get to name five things that you're thankful for. Okay, well, I'm thankful for a paved road. You know, the pioneers, they didn't even have roads. They made 6 miles a day with a bunch of oxen pulling them, right? Okay, so I'm thankful for paved roads. I'm thankful for, the crews that maintain them. I'm thankful for the fact that I'm not in an oxen and I'm in a car. And oh, by the way, since I live in Houston, I'm thankful that that car is air conditioned. Where am I at? 4? I could keep going. Let's see, one more. I'm thankful that that car is paid for. How about that? It's either my company car or my family car. Both are paid for. At least somebody paid for them. So you get the point there. I'm tricking myself into being thankful. Now, I'm flipping about it, but it's absolutely the truth, brethren. If you make yourself talk about the things that are positive versus the things that are negative, then we're not walking as fools, but we're walking as wise. We're redeeming the time. And we'll pick it up again in verse 17. We're still in Ephesians 5. Therefore, be ye not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Here we're talking about, remember the second point. Thanksgiving is the will of God for us. Verse 18, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. If you're going to be drunk with something, be filled with the Spirit. And speaking to yourselves, there's that self-speak, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. We do that every time we gather here at church. There's a bigger reason for hymns than quieting and settling the crowd, brethren. We enter into the gates of the eternal when we drive through them out front, and we're in the presence of God when we sing our psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our hearts to the God. Verse 20, giving thanks always for all things, always giving thanks for all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of God. I like that, Ephesians 5:20. Giving thanks always and for everything to God. Let's turn over to Colossians 3. There's a couple of passages there that speak to being thankful and being thankful in everything. Colossians 3. And verse 15, again, interesting that it's Ephesians 5, 15 through 17, and here it's Colossians 3, 15 through 17. Now I've got you completely confused. We're in Colossians 3 and verse 15, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. That sounds very familiar to what Paul said before when we were looking at, Philippians 4, be anxious for nothing. It's the same thing. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That sounds very familiar to Ephesians 5, doesn't it? With thankfulness in your hearts to God. With thankfulness in your hearts to God. And here's the hard part. Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. If we do everything in the name of Jesus Christ, then everything that we do is going to be a light, an example toward him. And if we're striving to do that, then we just simply have to be thankful for all the things that God has blessed us with. Now let's go back as we kind of wrap things up to the list that that I told you to start. You can work on that through the week. I read a good, and it just happened that I saved it. It had been a couple of months back that I saw it. It was actually a business or a secular article in reference to the art of Thanksgiving. I thought, well, that guy was making some good points. Roger Sipe was his name. I don't know if he's famous or just a blogger or something to that effect, but this is what his premise was, and these are his words. He said, I found that successful and joyous people are usually very skilled at counting their blessings. I'd be very surprised with the way that he wrote it if he doesn't have some sort of Christian background, but he says what they focus on what's right about their lives instead of what's wrong. He says the things we dwell on mentally are what we attract in our lives. It's kind of like this universal rule. When you learn to consciously focus on the things you're thankful for, you attract more of the things that you're thankful for. He goes on to give some pointers, and I'll just go through them quickly. One is something I've already mentioned. Watch yourself talk. Talk to yourself. Your brain is talking to you every moment of the day, so we have to exercise some influence over it. What do we teach our children to do when they hold their breath and they kick and scream and cry because they're throwing a fit about something that we want? We teach them, number one, stop that. And number two, verbalize the things that you're frustrated about, and let's see if we can work on how to fix them, right? Exercise some influence over what your mind is saying, especially first thing in the morning. I didn't realize that I do it, but a lot of times people ask me at work, and a guy even mentioned it the other day because we were standing together and somebody I hadn't seen in a while said, hey, Chris, how are you doing? And Mike, one of the guys that I've worked with for years, said he's happy to swing his feet over the edge of the bed this morning, because that's what I say to people when they say, how are you doing? I said, well, I swung my feet over the edge of the bed this morning and I stood up on my own power, so the rest of it's going to be okay, I think. Anyway, that's what he says about it. When you tell yourself it's going to be a great day, it has immediate and profound effects on your mindset. So we're talking to ourselves nonstop. So make sure that you exercise some influence over what you're saying. Number two, in reference to pointers about the art of thankfulness, Abraham Lincoln said, "It's impossible to lift the burden of another without also lifting yourself." It's impossible. Interesting. So we started with a quote from Abe Lincoln. We kind of end on a quote from Abe Lincoln too. It's impossible to lift the burden of another without also lifting yourself. So in reference to how to be more thankful, brethren, do something nice for someone else. Lastly, and this is where I got the idea, write out a gratitude list. Sit down and create a list of things in life that you're thankful for. Don't rule anything out, big or small. Even if it seems silly, put it on the list. Just this simple act, it says, will do wonders for you. And when you're not feeling it, go back to the list and read over that. And I'll add here, by the way, that when you've finished, or at least you've got a good start on your list, pray those things back to our Heavenly Father and thank Him for them. Thank Him for each and every one of those things. That's our sacrifice of thanksgiving. So today, given the season, I've discussed thanksgiving a little bit with you guys in reference to it being God's will for us, it being an attitude, a state of mind, a way of being, a gift that God gives to us. We are to enter His praise with thanksgiving. We are to give thanks at all times and for all things and for, brethren, each other. So I'll end with this statement from Paul, and you don't have to turn there, but you'll find it in 1 Corinthians 1. It's when he begins his letter to the Corinthians, verse 4. And of course, he goes on to develop this sentence, but the sentence that he says here is, "I always thank my God for you." So remember that when you're thankful for someone, we pray for other people all of the time. But how often do we say directly to them, "I'm thankful for you, and I'm thankful for you, and I'm thankful for you," and we give our brother and sister, our grandmothers, our grandfathers, our brothers, our sisters, our children, family members that are either family by blood or family by spirit, like we are in this room. We say to one another, giving thanks at all times and for all things, "I always thank my God for you."